Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 23rd of February. Spring is almost here. This hour of the program, we have talked so much, and quite frankly, I've been doing radio for 36 years. Holy cow. And I can't remember a time when there has been this much interest in an issue, when you know that there are just people waiting in line to get through on the phone and they can't get through and they're frustrated and they got emails galore and you can't get to all of them and we're frustrated because they're all very good comments. So after having a lot of people with us, Bill Krause, former press secretary to Governor Lee Dreyfus, the president, professor rather, of business administration and management at Marquette. We spoke with people from AFL-CIO, from the Tea Party, from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We spoke with Sean Johnson, who's probably been getting no sleep the last week. Sean, doing a terrific job for national outlets and for us. We spoke with people from WEAC, from AFSCME. Yesterday, Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor. We also spoke with Republican State Senator Hopper yesterday. Tomorrow, Mayor Tom Barrett will be joining us. We had hoped Margaret Farrell would join us, who's a friend of the program and has appeared on forums that we've done. But she's very sick and has the flu and a fever, and we're hopeful that she's better tomorrow. But we may have to put another guest there just because when you're sick, right? You can't give it your all when you're not feeling very well. So, but we'll talk about this again tomorrow. So this hour, and our phone lines are already completely filled, we're going to just give you a chance to talk about all that has been going on, what you've heard, what you think the end game may be here. It has been one incredible week in this state. So what do you think? Eugene and Viola is our first caller. Hi. Oh, Eugene, you're not there, so call us back. Joan and Matt. Well, what's the matter with our phones? There's something wrong here. They're all going bop, 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 bop. So we don't want that to happen, so we'll try and figure this out. Yeah, there's something wrong with all the phones. So I'm sorry, everybody. Please, the number is 800-486-8655. And you can also send emails. We will get we will get those, and we will post some of those on our Facebook page. You can also go to our Facebook page and post comments there as well. That is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and that is another way for you to communicate with us. This story certainly is going to keep going on. So let's go to some emails here. And I'll just read them. This is from Mimi in Reedsburg. There is so much misinformation circulating about the budget bill and the protests. I am a union member, and as I understand that the unions are willing to take cuts in salary and benefits, we just don't want to lose our collective bargaining rights. The governor's bill would limit bargaining to salary only, and in that arena, only cost of living raises would be possible. Anything more would require a statewide referendum. That's an impossible roadblock, and that does appear to be the roadblock right now. Now let's go to, oh, it's working now, Rhonda? Rick, are you there? Nick, are you there?
Nick?
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Nick, I'm glad you're there. Okay, thanks.
Because I was listening to another talk show the other day, and one of the union leaders were on there, and they were saying that the state of Wisconsin is owed approximately $1 billion in delinquent corporate taxes, which Scott Walker plans to forgive them for in his annual budget coming out. I was just wondering if anyone else had heard something about that, or if you could have a guest that would comment more on that.
Okay, and what do you think of what's going on? What are your thoughts?
I'm a supporter of the people in the Capitol right now. I feel like this bill goes way too far. They're willing to take concessions. I am actually a public employee. I'm not unionized, but the benefit increase will affect me, and I haven't gone to Madison to protest yet. I have emailed my state representatives, but I support all the Democrats in Illinois, and to say that they're running away, I don't feel like that's fear. I feel like the fact that they're not being listened to, and the governor keeps saying, come back and we'll debate it, but really, he keeps saying out the other side of his mouth that it's not debatable. I just feel like, I just feel like something needs to be done.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nick, for the call. And I should say that I am a state employee as well. We are not union. I'm not union here, but we are state employees, so we would be affected by pension, health care contributions, but not collective bargaining. Just so you know, just to be upfront. Thanks, Nick. Boyd in Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. You guys at WPR are doing a great job, first off. The concern that I have, and I hope I'm wrong on this, I think with what, in some ways, the governor has tried to do, and I've also seen this from some of the conservative press when I saw some clips of him on Fox and Friends, Governor Walker, that is, and is that I feel that, you know, he says he's standing up for the taxpayers and stuff like that, and my point is I feel that he's pitting the private workers against the public workers. And as this goes on, if frustrations start to build, that could really have a very negative fallout, which is bad not only for the state, but for the country. And that really concerns me.
All right. Thanks, Boyd, very much for your call.
Yep.
Rob and Nina is next. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Hi.
Last night I was in a bar and discussing this, and three, four guys came up to me and almost punched me out. Cops were called. The cops came over and said that you weren't doing anything wrong, Rob. And, you know, what I'm worried about is the reproductions of what's going to be going on, you know, with the public employees. Now I've got everybody hating me. I'm not invited anywhere.
Well, what happened?
It's going to be going on for 4 years, 5 years. We're not seeing the end of this at all. And I'm personally afraid, you know, that my car's going to get broken into or something's going to happen to my family.
Well, Rob, what were you saying? There hasn't been much response like this. It seems to me to be rather dramatic. I'm sorry that anything happened to you, but what was going on?
I was telling them that I wasn't getting a free handout, and they were telling me I was getting a free handout by the concessions and the monies and the benefits that we've had that we actually negotiated for the last, you know, 10 years. We've taken cuts on pay and everything to keep these concessions.
Uh-huh. But nobody punched you out.
No one punched me out, but I was very close to, somebody followed me out of the bar, and my wife and I ran to the car and got in the car and locked the car and took off.
Uh-huh. All right, well, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Matt in Green Bay. Hi, Matt.
Hello, great show. Thanks again for the forum. 3 points, I guess, real quick. Number one, we have a fiscal crisis in this state of Wisconsin. Number two, these public employees have agreed to give back $30 million this year and $300 million next year going forward on their benefits package. And number three, we've got a governor right now and a state legislature that's picking winners and losers. What they've done and what is going on, if you look up the record, is so far I think the tab's up to about $350 million in tax giveaways. So this isn't a serious effort to take care of our fiscal problem, period. If it was, they wouldn't be picking winners and choosers and giving tax giveaways to special interest groups. This has nothing to do with the budget. Or they would stop the tax giveaways, and they would take the money from the state workers and balance their budget.
Thanks, Matt, for your thoughts. Let's go to Tim and Spooner. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello. I have some concerns. I'm a resident of the northern part of Wisconsin, and I have some concerns about the approach that the governor is using to address the budget deficit, and I'm concerned that people maybe aren't looking at the potential for this to spill over into the private sector as well. I think it's symptomatic of what's taking place at the national level as well as other states, not only Wisconsin. I'm afraid that that attempting to balance the budget on the backs of one segment of the population is the wrong approach. I think that in a time of financial crisis, I do believe that we all should share this burden, and I'm private sector. That's how I view it. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, very much for the call. This is a public forum this hour, so that's why we're asking you to call in. I know many of you have been frustrated because you haven't had a chance to get through. I hope you can today. 800-486-8655. Eugene and Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen. 75%, I'll make this as quick as I can.
All right.
75% of the school districts in this state are small rural districts. And there's a balance between the administration and the teachers, negotiating back and forth. There's a push and a pull both ways. Okay, sometimes not everybody gets what they want. But right now, they can throw the working conditions and the insurance and other small things into that negotiation. If that is taken away, that will unbalance the whole situation, and that will, as far as I'm concerned, that will literally destroy the school district in the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks, Eugene, for your call.
Yep.
Joan in Madison. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key issues of the bill that has nothing to do with budget repair concerns the lead lawyers in each of the state departments. Currently, they are nonpartisan lawyers that have grown up in that department and know the department well. One of the provisions in the bill takes each lead lawyer of all the state departments and makes it a political appointee. I'd like to know how that helps repair the bill. Or whether this is a power or political grab here to, I mean, these things will affect how we pursue consumer protection issues. If you have a complaint, whether or not that's pursued or not will be part of, or depending upon the political appointee. Our environmental laws, when they are disregarded, that lead political appointee lawyer will basically determine what direction we go, if or whether we'll pursue any other departments the same thing. So I just want to make sure that that is going to have a major, major impact on all of Wisconsin.
We'll do a show on the other. You're right, Joan. There are so many other parts of this bill that we've been overwhelmed by the collective bargaining angle here, but there are many other issues that could become full shows in themselves, and we'll move into some of that as we carry on, I'm sure.
And may I make a comment about the earlier comment about workers against each other?
Uh-huh.
To me, that seems like exactly what they want, is they want the middle-class families or middle-class workers, which all workers basically are, or middle-class, they want to pit people against each other, divide and conquer. That's the way they want to do it, I think.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Margie in Green Bay. Hi, Margie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, you know, there's a lot more to public employees making money or getting increases or whatever than people know about. My husband was a state employee. He's now retired. There were many, many years when if he got a 1% increase salary-wise, money in hand, that was it. And what they did, what the state did, and they could have bargained this not to do it, was giving them an increase in their health insurance and their retirement benefits. But you need to know, like right now, we're paying the full amount of our health insurance now that he's retired, and that's $1,000 a month. So if you start cutting a lot of these things, some of these people aren't going to be able to make it at all. And the only other thing I had to say was that this governor has to stop threatening these employees, threatening them with National Guard coming out, threatening them with layoffs. You got to start working with the employees. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I'm 65 years old. Never at all. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks, Margie, for the call. Kathy in Oshkosh, hi.
Hi. I appreciate this opportunity. Many people have brought up great details, particularly your previous caller. The thing that distresses me so is it addresses the middle class being pitted against the rapport, which is a very common technique that's been used for decades in this country, is the concentration of wealth in the hands of fewer and fewer Americans. I would hope that you would investigate this further, and I encourage all your listeners to go to the discussion that Robert Reich had on the other day on public radio.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the idea that if public radio, too, is threatened, where are we going to get our information? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know how important our pledge drive is. That's all I can say on that one. You know how important. We do have a guest coming up. Chrissy, can you tell me when David K. Johnston, who's our, I'm not sure when, Rhonda's listening to, he is really, really good on issues of income inequality and tax breaks for companies and tax shelters all over the world. He's a former New York Times reporter, and he'll be our guest. I would urge you to listen to that program because he really does know what he's talking about. This hour of the program, it is a forum for you to talk about what's been happening in the state of Wisconsin, what the governor had to say last night, the all-night session of the legislature, and all that you've heard from many different sides over the course of the past now almost 2 weeks. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we'll take more calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A couple of emails that have come in. I am not a public worker, just a person who believes that removing collective bargaining rights and putting all the cuts on those who opposed Walker's election is wrong. Another, I am disappointed that my rights as a citizen, voter, and taxpayer are not being honored by the Democratic senators who are not attending sessions of government. Tomorrow, we know for sure that Mayor Tom Barrett from Milwaukee, who ran against Governor Walker, as you well know, in the last election, will be our guest. He is concerned, and you're starting to hear some of this concern, that firefighters and police officers are exempt from this collective bargaining aspect, and the city's budget is, what is it, 64%, 65% benefits for those workers. So how do municipalities and cities deal with that is one of his deep concerns. And we had hoped that former Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrell would be joining us. She is really not feeling very well. She's got the flu. So she did get in touch with Rhonda today and said, I don't know if I can do this tomorrow, because if you're that sick, you can't give all you need to give to being on the air. So we will find somebody who has a point of view that's different than Tom's tomorrow. All right. Thank you for your calls. We are loaded here today. Gail in Madison, hi.
Hi. Thanks, Kathleen, for allowing me to speak out. I wanted to say that the cuts are not focused only on one segment of the population. My husband is a federal employee and is having to have his pay frozen for the next 2 years. And then even after that, we're not guaranteed that he'll get a raise. I think that we all need to do our part to help to decrease the deficit. Even those in the upper management, even those including the governor, the mayor, anyone in administration as well. So that's okay. What I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for the call. And we haven't, I can speak for public employees here. I can't remember how many years it's been since we've had a bump in income. It's been at least 3 and maybe more than that, just so people know that. John in West Allis, hi.
Hi. Great show as always. The original purpose of the unions was to protect the workers against abusive employers, not insulate them from a downturn in the economy. And the economy going down is part of the reason we're in this situation. Wisconsin's in the red and not in the black. But if it was in the black, we wouldn't be having this discussion, but it is. Wisconsin is an employer, and it just can't afford to pay what it had in the past, and that's what I think.
And what do you think about what has become a contentious issue here? Because state employees have said, okay, we'll pay much more for health care and for pensions, the collective bargaining aspect of this.
That is the big one, and I sympathize with the teachers. I completely 100% them all getting up and protesting. I'd like to see people getting up. I hate apathy. And this is a big one, but moving forward, this, I think, is a necessary step to long-term getting Wisconsin back in the black. And I feel bad that people are losing things on this. I really, really do, but I think it's a necessary evil.
Okay, thanks very much, John, for your call. We don't have much apathy about this issue, do we? We are not apathetic the last couple of weeks. Gary in Johnson Creek, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks very much.
Sure.
One of the things I wanted to say was, in my opinion, Scott Walker is not as much of a Republican as he is a libertarian. And many of the things in the bill adhere to libertarian beliefs. And it would be my suggestion that you have someone on from the Libertarian Party to discuss such things as privatization and so on and so forth. Their feelings with regard to public education.
And what do you think of that? Is that okay?
I believe in public education. I grew up here in Wisconsin, and I got where I got because I had great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right to privatize everything in the state. That's one of the reasons why you have government, because there are things that shouldn't be privatized. But again, I bring up the issue that the guy is more of a libertarian than he is a Republican. And people need to understand the libertarian beliefs to understand where he's going.
Thank you, Gary. Rich in Rhinelander. Hi.
Hi. Thanks. I listened to the governor speak, and I'm sorry to say that I think he's coming across, you know, he says he wants to run government like a business. That's okay. But I think he's coming across as a boss rather than an employer. And because he's a Republican, I look for more of Lincoln's spirit of, we're not enemies, but friends. We must not just be enemies. Passions may have strained, our relations, but it cannot break our bonds. And I think there is a backlash building against his approach to basically saying my way or the highway, I'm the boss, so it's how I say it's going to be. And maybe I'm the only one interpreting it that way, but boy, I'm hearing from a lot of people that he's starting to sound unreasonable in terms of how he's governing. So I'll leave it at that. And best wishes to Margaret Farrow, by the way. I hope she gets well.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, Rich, for your call. Dennis in Platteville. Hi.
Yes, I'm against the protesters in Madison. There's a lot of people out there that are just sitting back. Unions at one point in time, the unions were good, but they went too far. They don't deal with you anymore. How do you get rid of a bad teacher? And the abuse in the state system. There's just so much abuse there. You can't deal with the unions anymore.
All right. Thank you for your call, Dennis. Alex in Rice Lake. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I work for the public sector through the Department of Ag as an inspector. And I just want to say that some of the things I come across every day is that people think that the job that I have was just given to me, and I had no previous college experience. And mm-hmm. Some people just think that, you know, I mean, they feel as if they're not eligible for a job like that. But, I mean, I'm just to say that if you don't have a college experience and you want to get a job like that and they're looking for work, it's a perfect time to go. And I don't understand why more people don't pursue things like that.
So, and what do you think about what's going on? What's the end game?
I can see it both ways. I mean, I understand I'm not pro-union and I'm not against the union. There's their upsides and the downsides, but still, it's just a matter of I just wish people would be more open-minded. I mean, I've seen people in the past couple of days where they still don't know what's going on in Wisconsin, and you try talking to them about it, and they just haven't lived under a rock, and they haven't watched the news or listened to the radio.
Well, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I am younger, I mean, but still, it's some of the things, I mean, I don't know how you can pass it in a day without even running into it.
Exactly. It's being talked about everywhere. Thank you, Alex, very much
for
the call.
Bye.
Joe in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm a senior citizen, and, you know, I voted Democrat, but, you know, I think that it's time that since the governor was elected and the legislator was elected, they should be allowed to do their business as under the Constitution of the United States. I think that mob rule will lead to a mass unlawlessness and just mob rule from South America to North America, from the East Coast to the West Coast in this continent. And if people want to start loosening up law and order and let you see, well, we don't like this rule, so we're going to get out and we're going to do our thing. I think we should let politicians that were elected legally do their business.
Okay, Joe, thank you for your call. Shirley in Johnson Creek. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Shirley.
First of all, I want to say I am not a union member, and I am not a public employee. I am retired.
Okay.
That bill is online, and I encourage everybody to read that bill. The stuff that is in there is absolutely ridiculous.
What's bothering you?
The sale of the power plants.
Oh.
With no bids.
Mm-hmm.
The Medicaid stuff, and putting Walker in charge of everything. He wants control over all rules. He wants control over who gets Medicaid and everything like that. And so I am for the unions. I think they're doing a good job. This has been so peaceful. And we just have to keep it up.
Thank you very much for the call. We have, I know other people have looked at the Koch brothers, but we'll do a show on that coming down the road. I read somewhere yesterday that they did move office into Madison, lobbying office into Madison. And, you know, there is some truth about people doing pretty well in this country at this particular time. And the whole idea about no big contracts and the influence of these brothers, who are phenomenally wealthy and extremely conservative, the influence they have had on politics, you know, money and politics. There we go again. We've been talking about that for how many years? 800-486-8655 is our number. We decided we would just open lines because you haven't been able to get through, so we're just giving you a chance to talk this hour. Chuck in Appleton is next. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. The concern I have is the governor's unwillingness to compromise. I can't understand. Last night he said that, you know, the collective bargaining agreement needs to be removed so municipalities can balance their budget. But if you remove all the financial items and still keep seniority, layoff procedure, grievance procedure, you know, how does that impact, you know, the fiscal part? And then the other concern you just alluded to was the outside money. You know, no more than 5 seconds after the announcement came on the TV, all of a sudden Wisconsin Club for Growth
puts
on this ad. And, you know, who are these people? And where is that money coming from? And then an outside source trying to impeach the Democratic senator, I mean, you know, with have a recall on the Democratic senators, the guys from Utah, that. I mean, the people of Wisconsin should be let alone, and we should make up our own decisions.
And Rhonda was able to track down and finally get somebody from the Club for Growth to answer the phones this week, and the answer was, I got your message, I can't help you.
So there's, you know, who are these people that are, you know, driving the funding for that group? I mean, they knew well in advance what the governor was proposing in his repair budget because that commercial came out 5 seconds after the TV news.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do you
think? Thank
you much. Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
There has been some talk. You know, there are a lot of politics behind. Nobody's making a decision here without thinking about the next presidential election and who has power in this country. There has been some talk by some commentators that this is a move to really strip the economic base of the Democratic Party because, you know, let's face it, unions have, for the most part, been big supporters and financial supporters of Democrats in this country. What do you make of that?
I hate to be so cynical, but I do believe there is some underpinnings there that, you know, somehow the far right and the amount of money being poured in, and, you know, where do the Democrats get most of their dollars? You know, from labor, and but labor's only 12-15% of the workforce.
Yes.
Wisconsin's a little higher, you know, so, but in trying to eradicate even that base.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you much.
John in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, how are you? You know, first thing, I'd like to just start out and say your call screener asked if I was for or against. And, you know, I think the performance of the last half hour with almost everything being against Scott Walker's plan, you know, I think controlling the callers.
She is not controlled. No. That's not what. Whoa, excuse me. That's not what is happening here. We're trying to get a balance of callers, is what's happening. Chrissy is doing a very good job. Go ahead.
Right. But there hasn't been any balance.
What do you mean there hasn't been any balance? I'm taking the calls as they come in, and we have had people who have supported the governor. What would you like to say, sir?
I would like to say that a caller who called in and said that Scott Walker gave a bunch of tax breaks to companies and that could have easily solved their budget problem without having to so-called attack the unions. I just think it's important to remember that every tax dollar, every department in the government is supported by those corporations. They are the creators of wealth. And Wisconsin has a terrible business climate consistently. And he's trying to alleviate that. I just think that the whole golden goose idea, you know, I think a lot of people have their hands wrapped around the golden goose's neck. And you're going to find that there's not going to be money for anything unless you create a more appealing environment for businesses to operate in.
All right, John. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Kevin and Barron. Oh, no, it's not. It's Bud next in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Kathleen. How you doing?
All right, Bud. How are you?
Always a good show. I'm fine. Kathleen, you know, I think this is just a prelude. This is Scott Walker is addressing legacy issues that we have developed through the years, you know, way back before Tommy Thompson. What's going to happen is once this union power is addressed, at least to Scott Walker's satisfaction, he's going to cut shared revenue. And then you're really going to see some school districts in deep, deep trouble. It's not just the teachers, it's all of us. We have these palatial, gigantic, huge campuses for high schools with swimming pools and soccer programs and football programs. None of this can be afforded by the ordinary taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're seeing is a realignment of priorities here, and it's going to be very painful because this is nothing. This is just the beginning.
It will be very interesting to see the budget, which I guess will be announced when next Tuesday, because that will have huge ramifications, as you said, for districts, for municipalities, for everything all over the state.
Oh yeah, shared revenue is just it is going to hit the state like a ton of bricks.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I had to say. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thanks, Bud. Thanks very much for the call, Kevin in Green Bay. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I kind of like to look at this both ways. I kind of consider myself anti-union. Just to see what the auto union did to the auto industry was terrible. But Governor Walker is pitting the public against the private. Hear a lot of private workers saying that they're tired of paying for retirement insurance for state workers. But you know what? They actually chose their profession. Teachers, you know, if they put in 5-6 years of college at $60,000 to $100,000 worth, and with the hopes of getting a rewarding job with benefits and insurance and you know, they chose that, and that's part of it. And it's hard to just, I guess I don't like Governor Walker picking and choosing who gets the cuts and who doesn't. For example, the fire and police aren't affected by it, where teachers and other state workers are. And it's really sad because the teachers really aren't to blame for, you know, the bank failures and the economic hardships and the bailout failures that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now it's like they're to blame for our financial crisis that the state and the federal has. And I got a son right now in La Crosse who's going to school to be a teacher. So I'm sure I persuade him not to choose it and pursue. It's a mess, and I don't like to see the private versus the public sector because it's a sad war.
Thank you, Kevin, very much. I brought that up with somebody over the last week. We've talked to so many people that you will make people question whether or not they want to become a public employee, a teacher, because there is something. And I got to speak because I'm a public employee, too. So it doesn't make sense for me to not say anything about this. But there is part of the bargain as a public employee that you get good benefits. I don't think anybody's denying that, we've had very good benefits. And it's one of the reasons, because teachers don't make very much money, and God knows we don't make very much money. We just don't. Dave, you want to know the truth. We just don't make that much money, but we do have good benefits. So that's part of the package that you buy into to do also a kind of work that you love. People become teachers because for the most part, they care about the next generation, and it's a hard job, and it's a good thing that they're doing. And most public employees enter the profession, I think, to do good in the world. So you can't blame us for getting good benefits, can you? All right, let's thank you, Kevin, for your call. Let's go to Elizabeth from Green Bay. Hi, Elizabeth.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. So here's my beef. I appreciate the protesters that are out there protesting against the bill. But I would love to know how many of those protesters voted for Walker, because I'm thinking there are some, and I'd like to know how many of them did not even vote.
Right.
In our by-election, because I'm thinking a lot of them didn't. So I'm saying live and learn.
Yeah, there is something to be said. This was an election where in Wisconsin, which traditionally has not been a heavily Republican state, where people did vote, the Republicans, for the legislature and in the governor's race. So,
oh, yes.
If
I was
you did,
shocked. Totally shocked.
So if you don't...
So it means
that Democrats didn't turn out for this election. That elections
That's
do
right.
have consequences. There's no doubt about that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Elizabeth, very much.
Yeah.
Our number, 800-486-8655. Kevin and Barron. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. You're absolutely right about public employees get good benefits and less wages, and I'm one of those people. But... people out there got to understand, we didn't just make them give us these good benefits. It was a give and take in negotiations. And I always like to say that, especially school districts, I'm not sure how, like, say your job works or whatever, but under this QEO that had been in place for a number of years, teachers actually were, you could say, paying for their retirement and health insurance by the fact that it was a package deal. If they got a percent raise, it was for the whole package, and especially with health insurance costs going up, that's where most of their raise went, to continue paying for their health insurance. And if I understand correctly, the last few years of that QEO, there were school districts and teachers that were actually taking a cut in pay because it went towards health insurance. So I believe they've really been paying for their benefits that they've had through that imposed QEO. The other thing I'd like to say about Governor Walker is if he really does need these concessions, and he needs them right now, why can't that be phased in, say, over a couple, 3 years, you know, like the 6% for your retirement? Why not take 2% this year from the public employees and phase that in over a number of years? Any family that would be made to refinance their debt, if you will, would never be required to pay everything off in a couple of months. It'd be tough for any family, public or private. So that's my other point, is that I think if it's really going to happen, it could be phased in over a couple of years.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks very much for the call.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Jerry in Ridgeway, hi.
Hi. My comment is that I think there has been so little facts that have been put out by especially the media and even including public radio, which I'm, you know, a very big supporter of. But, for instance, when they talk about employees' salaries, they don't put an amount out there. You know, is it $300 million per year? Is it some amount? And then how does it translate to individuals in the state? When they talk about millions and billions, it goes right over the head of most people. But if you said the $140 million shortfall equates to, say, $24 per citizen, P, people could do something with
right.
it.
Right, I see your point.
It's all been about the catfight. It's mm-hmm. all been all the media coverage. If you look at the national coverage, you look at local coverage, it's all, you know, the governor against the unions or the private against the unions. I mean, we're just not talking about some simple facts that have some numbers. And you can't find it. When you go on the Wisconsin website, if you try to find some of those amounts, it's just about impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked, by the way, in the private sector for 20 years, and I worked in the public sector for 8 years, and I'm retired now. So I've seen it on both sides. I mean, there's many more similarities in both of those arenas than there are differences.
Thank you very much for the call, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. George in Milwaukee. Hi.
Yes, hi. When the U.S. Senate was threatening a filibuster against Obama's health care plan that included a public option, the Tea Partiers and folks that supported Republicans were more than happy to see the filibuster in force. So it would prevent Obama from including, say, things like a public option or a larger stimulus package. Now that the shoe is on the other foot and the Democrats have moved out of the state in basically what amounts to a filibuster, they're all very upset about it.
Yeah. You know what gets me about this, and this doesn't come from any partisan basis, George, is these people who are saying, including the governor yesterday, you know, my brother pays $800 a month for health insurance, or people are saying, I pay $1,200, $1,500 a month for health insurance. My immediate response to all of that is, that's terrible that anybody would have to pay that kind of money. People don't make that kind of money in this economy. Why are you almost proud of the fact that you're having to pay that kind of money? Isn't that why we had the health care debate? Weren't we through all of that? That people had to pay those kinds of sums, which people can't afford?
Well, unfortunately, that notion of affordability was not one of the primary aspects of the health care debate. And although there's some things in the health care bill that would limit some of the profit of insurance companies by keeping it as an employer-based system dependent on private insurance companies and not really going after them like they need to be, really has kind of doomed us to this cycle. And, I mean, we're seeing it with the public employees now in terms of why are those benefit packages that state and cities give out so high. It is because the insurance companies are taking 25% off the top for their own profits and marketing and everything else that isn't necessary.
Thank you very much for the call. More phone calls in a moment. We're opening the lines for you this hour because we have been so crowded with calls and we just couldn't get to all of them, so we felt that you needed a chance, and this is it. More calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow, during our 9 o'clock segment, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett will be with us. We had hoped that former Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrell could join us. She is really under the weather, so we're going to find somebody who has a different political point of view than Mayor Barrett does. He delivered his State of the City address on Monday and said that he understands that government employees need to make increased contributions to their health care and pension benefits. But he said there is also a very important point to be made here. We've made significant progress in terms of having government employees increase contributions to their health care and pension benefits without attacking the fundamental right to organize. So the discussion will continue tomorrow at 9. We go back to phone calls now. Frank and Toma, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I do believe that this is nothing but union busting by the governor. Howard Fineman reported that the Koch brothers at the Republican Governor's Convention, this was the plan they put out. You're going to see it in more states. And if it wasn't, if it was strictly about the budget, why not the police and the firefighters? The benefits they get, those two unions combined, double what he's gone after with the teachers and the other public employees. So it is nothing but union busting. And I think the Democratic senators are showing a lot of
smarts and nerves staying out, and I hope they stay out until this gets resolved.
Thank you, Frank, very much for the call. An email from Tom, a caller stated that corporations are the creators of wealth, and I would politely challenge that workers in all positions are creators of wealth, that corporations couldn't exist without a willing and industrious labor force. No entity or individual should be placed on a pedestal. This can and will likely become destructive in the long run. Diana in Eau Claire, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. The caller is expanding this discussion beyond collective bargaining. They're just wonderful points. And I want to mention RTAs, regional transit authorities, and also federal funding that flows to the states to subsidize public transportation. I hear conflicting things from local transportation directors. And Cullen Werwee, I think is his name, the governor's spokesperson, disputing whether any of these funds are threatened. And lastly, I would love it if you could get a Tea Party representative on, what do they think of these policy changes that are shifting authority from the legislature, the elected body of the state, to the governor's office for rulemaking, for changes to Medicaid is probably the biggest budgetary impact that hurts people with the smallest voices, so to speak, you know, least political clout.
Yeah, we had a Tea Party representative with us last week. It wasn't a long enough period of time to get into some of those areas you just talked about. His thoughts were that he was in agreement about collective bargaining and also in agreement that the governor and state senators and assembly members should cut their staves and try to save money in all ways possible. So that was the thrust without doing the whole interview, you know, justice, because it was a half hour.
Yeah. And if I could just also say, I'm so proud of Wisconsin, whether it's people here or who have come in from out of state, at how relatively peaceful everything has been in Madison.
You're right. Thank you. Thanks, bye-bye. Diana, for the call. Sarah in Madison. Hi. Sarah, hello.
Hi. I'm calling because I do support Scott Walker, and I think it's really important for all those listeners out there to know that Wisconsin elected him, and he did run on all these policies. And I think it's really hard to accept, but times are changing in America, and people are tightening their belts all across the border, and it's just something that everybody really has to accept. And I think it's just important, and also, folks didn't stay home. Wisconsin spoke, and I think that the majority of Wisconsinites support him, and it's those folks that are structured in unions and whatnot that, you know, their voices are being heard at the Capitol, which is great, which is free speech and how it should be, but, you know, people have spoken and they elected him on these principles of what he ran on.
Thank you, Sarah, for your call. Kathy,
thank you.
Thank you. We go next to, what in the world is going on here? There we go. Kathy in Duluth. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Let me just say that when I was watching live Governor Walker's on TV last night, I started listening, thinking I would listen, and the attitude that I heard, you know, attitude, 10% is what's going on, 90% is your attitude toward it. Well, I turned it off. I couldn't stand it. I'm an independent, and I live in Minnesota, and I think if this was going on in my state, I mean, he was not elected to be the king, and he was not elected to be the dictator. I would start impeachment proceedings against him if this was my state, if I was in Wisconsin. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kathy, for your call. Karen in Soldiers Grove, hi.
Hi. I just want to say that thanks for having this show. We all can talk. And the Republicans need to know that a lot of people voted Republican because of the 2008 financial crisis. And I think a lot of those people now regret that. Also, that all the public workers will have reduced incomes and will be spending less money. And so that is not good for the state economy. But then the last thing I want to say is I wish the governor would ask us to come together and find solutions for the budget. Things like conserving energy, creative solutions. And that the last thing I want to say is that as a country, I do think we really need to be, remember, united we stand, divided we fall. And it's better for us to remember that we have more things alike than differences and to try to come together with creative solutions.
Thank you, Karen. We have time for maybe one call short. It has to be Tina in Galesville. Hi.
Hi. I just want to say how against Scott Walker's I am. And he's one of that very brittle, angry, Tea Party-ish He can't negotiate because he's both right and righteous, and the other person is absolutely wrong. And this is just a repackaging of the trickle-down effect under Reagan, the ownership society under Bush. Nothing good ever trickled down to the working class upon their heads. And the ownership society turned out to be you on, you own.
And we have to hold you there. We're out of time. Thanks, Tina, very much for your call. You can continue comments on Facebook on the Kathleen Dunn Show. We again request that Governor Scott Walker appear on this show. I know he's in negotiations. His people are with other shows. But we really would love to hear from him right here to answer your concerns. The man who ran against Scott Walker will be with us tomorrow. Mayor Tom Barrett will be joining us the first part of the program. And we will be speaking with probably a former Republican member of the legislature the second half of the first hour tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for not being apathetic.